Welcome to this edition of Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around St. Albans and from further afield. Sustainable St. Albans Week is now in full swing and so much has been going on. The lovely weather has really boosted activities that have been taking place outdoors. Now, the Vare Valley Society, they've been working to clear up the River Vare at New Barnes Mill in Sopwell, and as well as their usual volunteers, they welcomed in a few new helpers as well. Now, they were mainly clearing growth of watercress and fallen willow branches which had begun to clog up that section of the river. And also, there's a spring there. And their idea was that they would hopefully clear enough of the clogged up vegetation to allow the spring to once more flow into the river and help with those all important water levels. And there was a real community spirit with everyone getting stuck into the work, and with so many people working in such a focused small space, they really did make a great difference in such a short time. Now, back on dry land, but still considering the aquatic environment, there was close to a full house at an Odyssey on Sunday evening, and they were watching a plastic ocean, and they joined in, obviously, watching that. And then there was a panel discussion at the end, on the panel, various people, including three women who'd rowed over 3,000 miles across the Atlantic to raise awareness of plastic pollution. Obviously, they had real first-hand things to say. I went along, and it was great to see so many people who I don't think normally would call themselves environmentalists really engaging with this serious environmental problem and looking to try and make a difference themselves. And Emma, the leader of Plastic Free St. Albans, who's been on this show before, she said that as a result, there's been a huge amount of interest in the Plastic Free St. Albans campaign. And there's a number of businesses have got in touch asking what they can do to reduce their use of single-use plastics and things like where they can get paper straws from instead of plastic ones. And in this show, I want to stay with those people who aren't the usual suspects when it comes to doing sustainable things, environmental stuff, but who are doing their bit and sharing what they're doing as part of Sustainable St. Albans Week. Now, later we're going to hear from Farhat Zia of the Hearts Asian Women's Association. But first, let's just go back to the weekend and to an event then. On Saturday, I went down to Mile House Lane to the grand opening of the Little Free Library. Now, I spoke to Esther, whose brainwave it was to put this lovely idea into action. Esther, you must be very pleased with the crowd that your new Little Free Library is drawing here today.
It's absolutely wonderful to see everybody. And the interesting thing is that while we were putting the box up and getting things ready, we had loads of interest from neighbours passing by. And everyone's been really enthusiastic and really keen, which is actually a joy.
I was just saying, you've got a badge there saying Chief Librarian. Is that the way you see it?
That's my husband doing badges for everyone. I think somebody's got sort of learning librarian. I've just seen my granddaughter here saying learning librarian. He's got all sorts of funny labels he's put on people. But actually, I am just the steward of the box. And I will look after the box. I'll make sure that it's decent and in good nick, and that there are books in there that are a broad range for children and for adults. So I'll sort of look after it, but I actually want the whole road and the whole community to take responsibility for it.
Yeah.
So they will bring a book, or not even bring a book, they will pass by and have a look and think, oh, that's an interesting book, I fancy reading that. Take it away with them. They don't even have to bring it back. They can bring it back if they want to once they've read it, or they can just pass it on to a friend. But then they might actually want to bring a book to just stock the library up again.
So the library, it's like a very little shed just fixed to the wall outside your gate. Where did this idea come from?
It's actually, I have it registered in America. It is registered as I've got a registration number. It's very popular in the States. I think they have it all over the world, actually, but there aren't very many in Britain. And a friend of ours did it, put something similar up in Edinburgh, and said it was great fun to do. And I don't know, I read up a little bit about it, and I thought it was such a nice idea. And I get emails and interesting posts of other stewards, because I will just literally be the steward.
Yes.
Other stewards with ideas on how to build up excitement around the... They do Halloween in America. They do all sorts of things. They, it's just a way, actually, of the community getting together.
So do you see it as a community project or something perhaps to make us a little bit less dependent on Amazon, perhaps to come here for our books rather than just sending off for them? Or what's the main thing about it?
We lost our local library, our very local library. So, and everyone seems to have books that they either... I mean, we've donated loads of books to Oxfam, yeah, but actually there are some books that would be really nice to share more intimately with people, and this seemed like a perfect opportunity. And it's sort of I don't know, I think it's the joy, I think it's the world seems such a grim place at times. Actually this is something that's very
it's got a positive feel to it, hasn't
it?
There's something
feel.
A bit uplifting about it.
And it's people getting together and communicating, and that can't be a bad thing.
Yes, that can't be a bad thing at all. So is your hope that perhaps other places in St. Thomas...
That would be great. That would be wonderful. I think someone did say they thought there was one in Harpenden. And I know people do boxes, in, you know, old telephone boxes they have as little libraries. But there isn't anywhere around here. So... It just seemed like a nice... And it's a box we bought in Emmaus. It's a kitchen cupboard box we bought in Emmaus. And we took the glass out and put plexiglass. We found some discarded... So it's all recycled, discarded plexiglass from a bus station, a bus stop,
which had been bussed
and hasn't been chucked at the side. So we've used that. And my husband built the roof on it. And we've... painted it up.
Yes.
And
it's quite a charming little thing, isn't it? It's lovely. As you say, a little ray of sunshine.
That's what I'm hoping. That's what we all need.
Excellent. Esther, thank you very much indeed.
It's a pleasure.
And there I was talking to Esther at the grand opening of the Little Free Library. And obviously the library is great for adults. It'd be great for them to be able to chat about books that they've shared and read. But what's really struck me was the interest from children who were so delighted to be able to just go and take a book. And when I came back and I was chatting to my husband about this, and his first reaction was, well, why don't we have one in our road? Good point. Anyway, do go and take a look at Esther's beautiful little library. You can't miss it on Milehouse Lane as you go down there. And we'd love to hear from you if you do take inspiration and make your own little free library in your road. Now, this morning, the Hearts Asian Women's Association welcomed visitors to Habiba's garden to sample some of the herbs that they grow there and to share some recipes for how to use them. I spoke to Farhat Zia, who explained all about it to me. Now, by way of explanation, you should know that the Tiffin Club is a club for older, local British Asian women where they learn English, take part in exercise classes and share some food that they've made for themselves. Farhat, thank you very much indeed for joining me. So tell us a bit about Habiba's garden. Who was Habiba and what's the garden all about?
Habiba is a lovely elderly lady locally. She was the one who helped us initially with the Tiffin Club. 2 years ago when she passed away, the day when it was her funeral, we were given that little plot of land by CDA to develop it into a community garden, and we named the community, that patch of community garden, as a Habiba garden.
That's wonderful. And you were telling me that actually there were some roses in the garden that came from Habiba's garden herself.
Yes, Habiba had a beautiful garden. So when she passed away, her family and her daughter Morbin gave us all the rose bushes from her garden, and we now have a rose bed which is dedicated to Habiba.
Wonderful. So the garden now, it's not just flowers. What else is in the garden?
We have a herb section. We have a very large raised flower bed, and we got international herbs growing in there. Last year, we developed it just by using our local herbs. This year, we're going to take it a step further. We're going to put some international herbs. We got ladies in our Tiffin Club who are from Bangladesh, India, Pakistan, Mauritius, Morocco. So hopefully each year we'll be bringing different herbs into that garden and learning.
And why are these herbs important to these ladies?
Because when you talk about South Asia, our cooking is totally different. Although we call ourselves Asian, but Bangladeshi cooking is different to Pakistani cooking.
Right.
Indian have a different flavouring and different technique. And then when you look at Morocco and Mauritius, there again it's different flavour, it's different herbs that they use.
So it's all about the different flavours that go into the cooking, and I suppose ultimately all about the different cultures as well.
Yes, of course, you know.
So who looks after this garden?
We at the moment, partly myself and Mobeen, Habiba's daughter. But the Tiffin Club lady, we're going to encourage them to come more often and try and take ownership of the project. Because although we started the project, but we want the local, our ladies, to take the ownership of the project.
Indeed. And why do you think it would be good for them to be involved in growing things and being outside in the garden?
Socially, it'd be really, really good. It's about integrating with the main community. It's about learning from each other. It's about sharing. And it's about educating each other about different herbs. Because, you know, for example, I only thought there was one type of mint.
Oh, yes. No, no.
No, I recently learned that there's so many, because my Moroccan friend, she brought me a totally different mint to what I'm used to. And she said, no, this one we make tea with.
Yes.
Whereas I am used to using mint in cooking, you know, or salads.
Yes.
I haven't made the mint tea myself. So it was really good to taste that. And then also when you look at chilies, there's so many varieties of chilies,
wow.
You know. So we're just finding out which one is hot, which one is mild, which one is, you know, which one goes with what. So that's, again, experiment.
And tell me, would some of these ladies have been growing things, been growing some of their own food before they came to England?
Yes. Where they're originally from, they do grow lots of vegetables and things. In their open spaces, they have a very large open spaces, whereas, you know, we here in England, we have a small garden and then we develop that into a small patch for vegetable. But what I notice in my community, especially the Bangladeshi ladies, they're very good at growing vegetables in their garden.
Yes, yes.
You know.
So is there any plan for them to start growing things in the communal space at the garden?
What we're looking at is trying to inspire them. We have got a bit of land, you know, there. Last year I saw another community growing quite a lot of marrows. And I thought if those ladies plant them this year, I'll take these ladies from Tiffin Club to go and see.
Yes.
Because I have seen a lot of the Bangladeshi ladies growing marrows in their garden.
Right.
But it'd be really good for them to come out and use an open space and, you know, share it with the rest of the community.
Yes. As you say, all the social benefits and just getting outside and sharing this with other people. Now, obviously the growing things it has sort of environmental benefits as well, doesn't it? I mean, if you're growing all your own herbs and you're cutting down on plastic and things like that. And there's sometimes the accusation that concern for the environment is just something that the white middle class people are concerned about. Do you think that's right?
No, I don't agree with that. I think all of us, this earth belongs to all of us, and we should all be looking after the earth. You know, it's about sustainability. It's about looking after our planet. So when we talk about this planet Earth, it belongs to all of us. It doesn't belong to one section of the community or the other. But what we need to do is educate the community about how do we sustain it? How do we use less plastic? How do we recycle? It's about educating them.
Indeed.
I myself have just started going to a community garden, but I have always grow seed in plastic pots. What I just learned, you can use ordinary kitchen paper roll tube. You can actually cut them down and you can actually put soil in and grow. And I'm experimenting those at the moment. So this will be the first time. And look, you know, it's so beneficial and it's
Absolutely. As you say, there's all sorts of ideas that we can all share about how to be more sustainable. And it sounds like down at Habiba's Garden, this is just the kind of thing, sharing tips on sustainability as well as sharing all that lovely cultural stuff and getting the ladies out into the sunshine as well.
Amanda, this is a beginning for us, you know, and I'm sure we will learn from the other groups that are there at the community garden. And we share ideas and learn from each other.
Fantastic. And it sounds like you've got some wonderful things to share. Farhat, thank you very much indeed for coming and talking about this today.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
And I was talking there to Farhat Zia from the Hertfordshire Asian Women's Association. Now, it's not too late to take part in Sustainable St. Albans Week. Go to sustainablestalbans.org for details of all the events. It's on until Sunday. And you can also, if you follow Sustainable St. Albans Week on Twitter, you'll be able to see lots of photos from all the lovely events that have already taken place. Now, in particular, do go along to Fleetville Junior School on Sunday between 10 and 4 for the Know How Festival. There are going to be so many local groups there, from the Hearts Bells to St. Albans Cycle Campaign, from, you know, the Green Kitchen to the RSPB. And what they're going to do, they're all going to be taking part in demonstrations and workshops, all aimed at helping us to be more sustainable. You can go along to as much or as little of the day as possible. Okay, so remember, you can listen to this and to other editions of Environment Matters on the Environment page of the Radio Verulam website. That's radioverulam.com. Do follow me on Twitter. That's @RV_environment. And a big thank you to all of you who've tweeted about the tadpoles or lack of tadpoles in your pond. Do let us know how the frogs have been faring in your garden, and we'll see if we can get to the bottom of this. Remember, we're on Facebook too, and you can drop me a line at amanda@radioverulam.com. If you've got a comment or ideas about the show. Now, I'm going to be back at 7 o'clock next Wednesday, when we're going to hear about how vegetarian sausages are helping protect wheat crops from disease. Oh, yes. Until then, thank you for listening.